Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods, Text Number 22. Saesha Jivan Kalu Sampareto Varteta Yot Yanta Nri Samshitena Dehemrite Tam Manujas Shapanti Gantatamondam Tanu Mani no Dhruvam. Sahi Esha, that jealous person. Jivan, while living. Kalu, even. Samparita, is dead. Varteta, continues to live. Ya, anyone who. Adyanta, very much. Risham Sitena, by executing cruel activities. Dehe, when the body, Mrite, is finished. Tam, him, Manuja, all human beings. Shapanti, condemns, or condemn. Ganta, he will go. Tamaha, antam, the hellish life. Tanumanina, of a person in the Bali concept of life. Dhruvam, without a doubt. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Person who is very cruel is regarded as dead even while living. While he is living or after his death, everyone condemns him. And after the death of a person in the Bali concept of life, he is undoubtedly transferred to the hell known as Andatama. Andatama, that's what it is. Purport. Kamsa considered that if he killed his sister while living, he would be condemned by everyone. And after death, he would go to the darkest regions of hellish life because of his cruelty. It is said that a cruel person, like a butcher, is advised not to live and not to die. While living, a cruel person creates a hellish condition for his next birth, and therefore he should not live. But he is also advised not to die, because after death he must go to the darkest region of hell. Thus, in either circumstance, he is condemned. Kamsa, therefore, having good sense about the science of the soul's transmigration, deliberately refrained from killing Devaki. In this verse, the word ganita tamondam tanumanino dhruvam are very important and require extensive understanding. Srila Jiva Goswami in his Vaishnava Toshini Tika says, Tatra tanu manina papina iti dehatma buddhaiva papa bi nivesho bhavanti. One who lives in the Bali concept, thinking I am this body, involves himself by the very nature of this conception in a life of sinful activities. Anyone living in such a conception is to be considered a candidate for hell. Andanta gobir vishitam tamizram punak punas charvita charvanana. One who is in a bodily concept of life has no control over sense gratification. Such a person can do anything sinful to eat, drink, be merry, and enjoy a life of sense gratification. not knowing of the soul's transmigration from one body to another. Such a person does whatever he likes, whatever he imagines, and therefore being subject to the laws of nature, he suffers miserably again and again in different material bodies. Yavak kriyastavati dhammano vai karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. Bhagavatam 5.5.5. In the Bali concept of life, a person is karmana nubandha, karma nubandha, or conditioned by karma. And as long as the mind is absorbed in karma, one must accept a material body. Sharira bandaha. Bondage to the material body is a source of misery. Nasaru manye yata atmano yam asanna pi klesheda ashadeha. Although the body is temporary, it always gives one trouble in many ways. But human civilization is now, unfortunately, based on tanu mani, the Bali concept of life, by which one thinks, I belong to this nation, I belong to this group, I belong to that group, and so on. Each of us has his own ideas, and we are becoming increasingly involved, individually, socially, communally, and nationally, in the complexities of karma nubandha, sinful activities. For the maintenance of the body, men are killing so many other bodies and becoming implicated in karma nubandha. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami says, Tanumani, those in the Bali concept of life are a papi, sinful persons. For such a sinful person, the ultimate destination is the darkest region of hellish life, Ganta Tamo Nudam. In particular, a person who wants to maintain his body by killing animals is the most sinful and cannot understand the value of spiritual life. In the Bhagavad Gita 16:19-20, the Lord says, Tanaham dvishita kuran samsareshu naradamam shi pramyajasrama shubham asrishveva yonishu asuram yonimapanam mura janmani janmani taraba mama prapyaiva konteya tato yantyanamam gatim. Those who are envious and mischievous, for the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Attaining repeated birth among the species of demoniac life, such a person can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. A human being is meant to understand the value of human life, which is a boon obtained after many, many births. Therefore, one must free oneself from tanu mani, the bodily concept of life, and realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the text again. Sa esha divan kalu sampareta varteta yot yanta ni ri samsitena Dehe mrite tam monuja shapanti ganta tamondam tanumanina mani no dhruvam. Person who is very cruel is regarded as dead even while living. For while he is living or after his death, everyone condemns him. And after the death of a person in the Bali concept of life, he is undoubtedly transferred to the hell known as Andatama. It is said that in the conditioned life begins with avidya, not knowing things as they actually are. Therefore, anartha pasamam sakshat bhakti yoga adhokshaje. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva, in his compassion, he gave us the light of the Bhagavatam. Or, as it says, now that Krishna has left for his own abode, Krishna Swadharma Upagate, Dharma Jnana Dibhisaha, Kalo Nashta Drishamesha, paranarako dunoditaha. Now that Krishna has left to go to his own abode and taking with him dharma, religiosity, and knowledge, one has to take shelter of the Bhagavatam. Because if one takes shelter of the Bhagavatam in Kali Yuga, then we'll actually get light from it. Knowledge. Vidya. But because we've been trained up in avidya, therefore, from the very beginning of our life and in previous lifetimes, we acquired a false ego from avidya. If we don't know who we actually are, we have to identify ourselves with something, even with Brahman as something. We naturally become, according to the intelligence we have, then we identify ourselves with something. And if we don't have intelligence, then we identify ourselves with this body. That's called asmita, or false ego. So initiation, after getting enough knowledge, we're supposed to become convinced that I actually am a spiritual being. I have a spiritual identity. I may not know what exactly that spiritual identity is, but at least I know I am a spirit soul, and therefore I should act like a spirit soul rather than acting under false ego. Therefore, initiation really means, if it's going to be useful, it means to give up the bodily concept of life. It means that we don't walk out of the body, and if someone sticks a nail into us, we don't say, well, I'm not the body, it doesn't bother me at all. Because we're still in the bodily concept of life. Even when we're trying to get out of it, we still may be identified with this gross and subtle material body to a larger or lesser extent. And by devotional service, we're supposed to make it gradually lesser extent and larger extent becoming conscious of Krishna. Because in Kali Yuga, there's no way of getting out of the bodily concept of life, practically speaking, unless we become aware of, become Krishna conscious, actually conscious of Krishna, and enter into the ecstasy of devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Because then, in that ecstatic environment, in that transcendental energy, then everything is revealed, as it says, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Anyone know that verse? Our Bhagavad Gita scholars here? I'll give you the first word. Gyanena tu tad agyanam. I give you three words. Gyanena tu tad agyanam. Yesham nashitam atmanaha. Tesham adityavaj gyanam prakashiti tat param. One, however, when is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then that knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So the more we come under the spiritual energy by devotional service, then the result is that the more we're able to see everything as it actually is. When we become conscious of Krishna, simultaneously we become conscious of our real selves. And we also become conscious of everyone else's real self. And we become conscious that how all this energy is all Krishna's energy. It's not material energy ultimately. It's all spiritual energy because it comes from Krishna. So, when we give up our false ego by knowledge, we just don't get out of our false ego. We actually have to acquire realization. Knowledge doesn't mean just theoretical knowledge, but also realized knowledge. By practical devotional service, one can obtain realized knowledge. So we hear this philosophy, but the most important part of it for us, I mean, there's no, it's all important, but besides being a spiritual being and Krishna's servant, to actually do service. How we can do skillfully service to Krishna. How we can do service skillfully means not only to do it expertly with care and attention, but to do it remembering Krishna, to please Krishna. Now, if we're doing something to please Krishna, we won't be able to forget him. If we try to remember Krishna, just like there was one devotee, he decided that he was always going to remember Krishna, and he was never going to forget him. So he devised a plan how to do it. He had a harmonica stand, which went around, harmonica stands can go around your face even. And he printed the Maha Mantra on the harmonica stand. So wherever he looked, all he could see was the Maha Mantra. That's one way of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. And he was always chanting Hare Krishna. So he'd walk around and he'd chant Hare Krishna all day long, looking at the harmonica stand. And then he got a little bored, so he went outside and started to walk around the temple. And then he started to walk around the block. And then one day he walked around and he disappeared. Because remembering Krishna artificially doesn't mean to experience Krishna. But by if we're trying to please Krishna, in spite of any circumstance, we won't be able to forget him. So that's the secret of becoming Krishna conscious. Not just rote memory. There's many techniques remembering things, but that will not help us. If we actually try to please Krishna, then Krishna will appear within our memory. We won't be able to forget him if we're trying to please him. If you're trying to please anyone, you won't be able to forget them. So that's knowledge, how to please Krishna, so that we can actually identify ourselves, become, remember Krishna, and identify ourselves as Gopi Bharata Padakamalayor, Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. And then the result will be that our hankering and lamentation, which is eternal, eternal in the sense that we'll hanker for, gradually we'll learn how to hanker for Krishna. If we develop our spiritual ego, then we'll hanker for Krishna's shelter first, then Krishna's association, Krishna's love. Then we'll hang and we'll lament the fact that we don't feel we have enough of it. So hankering and lamentation have to be there, but it should be spiritual hankering and lamentation. And then abhinivesita, then we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. We're liberated in Krishna consciousness. And if we are under the spell of avidya, ignorance, then the result is they'll have acquire a false ego. And in that false ego, we'll hanker and lament over our material situation. We'll hanker for a better one, lament over the fact that we never get exactly what we want. Even Santa Claus personally came and gave us a gift, it wasn't exactly what we wanted. We'd have to go back to the North Pole and return it, exchange it for a better one. So that's the material universe. No one is happy. Even Lord Brahma would like to have a bigger universe. It's not enough room for him here. And so we have a choice. Either we're going to hanker and lament, be absorbed in material existence, or we're going to hanker and lament and be absorbed in spiritual existence. Depends upon knowledge. And that knowledge will depend upon whether we accept ourselves as Krishna's servant, we accept the knowledge that goes along with that, and therefore hanker, learn how to hanker and lament for Krishna, and become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, or we'll be forced to hanker and lament over this material world, and be absorbed in material consciousness. There's really no alternative. And it all happens automatically. It's not that we can hanker for something, we can identify ourselves with this body and escape from the reactions of material existence because we're nice people. Or we got some credit account with Krishna, or we can be in Maya for so much and Krishna takes it out of our account. No, it's either we're in Krishna consciousness or in Maya, and there is no in between. There may be in between in the sense that there's the darkest of ignorance, there's passion, and there's goodness. And in goodness, we're relatively free from material existence, but we're still in material existence without all the misery and ignorance that goes along with it. Just less misery and ignorance. But still under the spell of the false ego. That's why in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there are so many Brahmins, even exalted Brahmins, like Durvasa Muni, who was fully under the false ego. Although he had all mystic powers, he was practically a self-realized person. He could actually go and visit Krishna in Vaikuntha, not an ordinary person, but still he carried his false ego wherever he went. On the other hand, we have Garuda, or we have Jatayu. Even there were birds, but they had simply dedicated servants of Krishna, and therefore they carried their spiritual ego with them wherever they went. They were beyond the material existence. So that's the choice we have to make. And we make one choice, we become blissful, and we develop love for Krishna and everyone. And we make the other choice, we become morose, and we hate everyone. Even we start despising ourselves, why can't you do better? Police. So that's better to choose, as Kamsa chooses the wrong thing here. Well, actually, he didn't choose exactly the wrong thing. He had enough sense, as Prabhupada said, that he didn't become even more implicated in his false ego than he already was. He had enough false ego in the mode of goodness to realize that he didn't want even more false ego in the modes of ignorance and passion. But nowadays, people don't even have any false ego in the mode of goodness. It's all in the ignorance and passion. And therefore, they're willing to do anything at any time, any abominable thing. And as they do it, then they sink lower and lower. Not only, as Krishna says, into the lower species of life, but even in this lifetime, they develop lower and lower habits. So they'll eat anyone, anything. We don't have to wait for the end of Kali Yuga. There are any people who are man-eaters, or women-eaters too. Dog-eaters, man-eaters. Now they want us to first condition us by getting us to eat cockroaches. Or what it was the other, crickets. They want us to eat crickets. To save the planet, we have to eat crickets. Cricket sabji, cricket pakora, and they're actually even doing that now. They're grinding. They have cricket farms, and they have with lava farms, and they're growing these crickets, and then they're making them into powder. And they're making a flour out of crickets now. Not very healthy, by the way. I wouldn't, even if we weren't devotees, I wouldn't recommend it. The exoskeleton of the cricket is impossible to digest. Simply will cause all kinds of health problems. Just as an added incentive not to eat crickets. So they'll eat anything. Crickets, hogs. People eat dogs. Now they're putting this mRNA vaccine. They've been putting it for decades now, this vaccine in pork. So people have been getting the vaccine for decades now through the pork that they're eating. They're vaccinated against Krishna, anything good. And as people, their modes of material nature, they sink down and down. Primarily, then they become man-eaters at the end of Kali Yuga. Everyone is a man-eater, except for a few devotees. That's the end of Kali Yuga. And then Kalki has to come. He's born in the family of the few Vaishnavas that are left, and then he kills all the man-eaters. Therefore, we should be very careful to try to remember Krishna, because material nature is very cruel itself. It's very, well, I should say it's unforgiving. A little slip, and like Bart Maharaj, and therefore we may find ourselves in difficulty. As a matter of fact, we will find ourselves in difficulty. It's just a question of how much we recognize that we're in difficulty. We're always in difficulty. And only if we take shelter, when we realize it, then we take shelter of Krishna naturally. And when we don't think we're in difficulty, then actually we relax and we think it's okay. A little maya here and there is spices life. Therefore, Kamsa is a very good example that even such a cruel person as him, he had some consideration. So we have to have some consideration too. And therefore, Krishna will help us if we take shelter of him. By just considering a little introspection means that the super soul will give us proper intelligence if that's what we're looking for. Introspection is simply an attempt to ask Krishna, what do you think? A little questioning means that Krishna can help us. And we think, well, I know everything, Krishna. Don't bother, you know. I knew it before you did. Then Krishna, what can he tell us? He won't tell us anything. Therefore, a little humility that I don't know anything or everything and that I have to take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna can help us in our heart because he's right next to us and he'll actually help us. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I was wondering what's the role of knowledge in spiritual life, because in this case Kamsa knows, I mean, he knows what he should do.
He knows something.
He still doesn't do it. I mean, he doesn't kill Devaki, but he kills.
Yeah, he didn't kill Devaki. So. But he knows something. This is, if you, to know how the material nature is working, doesn't mean you know how the spiritual nature is working. He knows there's a spiritual nature because he's already been Kalanimi before, but he knows something about the material nature, how the modes of material nature work. But that kind of knowledge will not bring us to the spiritual world. It'll help us avoid the darkest regions of existence. Knowledge can bring us to knowledge and ultimately even liberation, Brahman, but it won't. Only spiritual knowledge about Krishna can bring us to Krishna consciousness, to the spiritual world. But Kamsa hates Krishna, so he's not about to acquire spiritual knowledge. But he has material knowledge, but that will help us at least avoid the most painful aspects of material existence. But that's not ultimately permanent knowledge, it's temporary knowledge. Anything else? Hvala, Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.